I passed a signpost or two. I never could see why the bad folks won't change, or why the good ones won't do. Everyone's left us alone to our way, thinking we might have been right. But I'm not so fond of this being alone, especially this time of night. So here we are in our ivory tower, all our fears left behind, looking on down from our ivory tower like everyone else has lost their mind. Tried to look to myself for my strength, look to a song for release. I kept all the people I could at arm's length, the ones that I never could please. But I've been refining the way that I feel toward all the ones who are near. Refining the way that I look to all women for years. So here we are in our ivory tower, all our fears left behind, looking on down from our ivory tower like everyone else has lost their mind.
Welcome back to our next edition of What's Up America with Mike Kerr, as always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is Billy Payne, who's a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer from Charleston, West Virginia. And he has recorded with Waylon Jennings' band, The Wailers, then the Waymore Outlaws, for several years. And he actually made a carving of Waylon Jennings out of wood, which we'll talk about. And he won Star Search in Charleston, West Virginia in 1998, and thus started his very nice career in Nashville. And we do really appreciate, Billy, you taking the time and telling us all about your career and your music. And first of all, we mentioned a little bit already about your background, but can you tell us a little bit about where, you know, how you got into music and where your love and passion for music comes from?
Well, I got started just playing around home and stuff like that, and listening to relatives play their guitars and when I was really young. And so that got me into really liking the instrument, so to speak. But when I was smaller, we had these like three channels that we got on our television then, and it did carry the TV shows, that Nashville Music and and Bill Anderson Show and Porter Wagoner Show. And I got to see a whole lot of country music on those shows, you know. I couldn't miss them. I had to watch them. And it's pretty cool to, for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do then. I just know how much it intrigued me, you know, to be able to watch those shows. And the older I got, the more I got into listening to more singers. And so I guess when my mom and dad bought me a record album of Johnny Cash and called Live at San Quentin when I was in first grade, I think that's when it hooked me finally, you know, to know I wanted to be a singer, you know, because I'm just like every other one out there, you know, just stood in front of the mirror and pretend to be, you know, somebody that was singing, and, you know, or I pretend to be Johnny Cash or somebody like that. But I think it really, I don't know, just opened my mind up about what it would be like to be an entertainer. And, but the older I got, you know, I did get out of it for a little while, you know, when I was growing up. I didn't always sit around the house and play guitar. But later on in life, I got back into playing a lot more on the guitar, and I got started playing in the clubs really by accident, I think, because I walked in club one evening with a friend of mine to see his wife that was working at this particular club in town, and there was a guy in there I knew my whole life that played music, and I hadn't seen him forever, and he invited me to come play music, and I said, okay, I'll be there, and, you know, then I just figured that it'd be over and done with, I'd forget about it or something. Wasn't anything set in stone, at least I didn't think it was, until my friend that I was with that day, his name is Sam, him and got me and said, you're going to go play tonight, and that opened up a door to me musically that I would never dreamed would happen, you know. Sam's a real good friend, and he knew I needed something to, you know, get me out there and start playing, because he knew I was capable of playing and singing. And my life changed from that time on when I went out on that Saturday night when he came and got me, and I've been playing ever since. You know, and the things, I didn't try to get into the music business to be successful with it, except for, you know, just having a good time and sounding good. And I mean, famous, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I never looked for the famous thing, you know, and then things started progressing and I started going more playing elsewhere. And that's how it happened.
Oh, great. So, Billy, as we mentioned, you know, your relationship with Waylon Jennings, and we'll say that you actually record and you actually, you know, play with them, you know, after Waylon has passed. But one of the things I mentioned, you know, that I was reading about that seemed like really interesting, if you don't mind telling us about, is you making like a wood carving of Waylon Jennings. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I had a friend that was carving a statue of Hank Williams. And, man, I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was so cool. And, you know, and he told me, he said, well, you could do this if you wanted to. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know how to start it. He said, well, he said, you go get a block of wood down at your dad's, an old 4x4 post. And my dad had a lot of crib blocks in the garage and everything. And he said, you go get one of them and bring it up here, and I'll get you started on doing one of Waylon to see what you can get it done. And I always could draw, you know. I done that a lot back when I was a kid. And so he just had me to bring the wood to him, and he scraped the place off on the corner of it. He said, there's his nose, go after it. And that's how I did it. And I'd never carved anything in my life. And it was really crazy because I guess I maneuvered the knife like you would a pencil or something, but did it in a backward kind of way. You know, I just said I was taken away from the wood, and it took me 2 years to carve that thing out. You know, I walked around with that piece of wood. It was like a security blanket, so to speak. I had it everywhere I went, and I really got into it even more when I got in touch with Layman's office and told them what I was doing, and they started sending me pictures, you know. And so I had some pretty good close-ups, and I used Western catalogs, you know, like Western clothing catalogs and stuff like that to get the jeans and the boots and all that stuff. So I carved him from head to toe, or from hat to toe, rather, and put his guitar on him and just carved it all out. And so after I was finished with it, I started in 84 of Labor Day weekend and actually finished it in 86 Labor Day. And I had a picture backstage to him, and I ended up getting a phone call a couple weeks later, and they told me they tried to get in touch with me that night, but I had to get out of the theater because it was another show and I didn't have a ticket for it. And I got contacted about 2 weeks later from his road manager at the time. His name was David Trask, which he manages Ronnie Millsap now, I think. And he asked me, said, are you the Billy Payne that sent a picture backstage in Wheeling, West Virginia? And I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, where did you get that? Is it a doll? What is it? I said, no, it's a wood carving. And I said, I want to give it to him. And so we arranged the meeting and everything when he was coming to Kentucky to the Paramount in Ashland. They set it up for me to give it to him. And I pulled a tear out of the outlaw's eye that day. So that was pretty cool. We end up being instant buddies that day.
Okay. So for you, you know, Billy, we mentioned that, you know, you're in Wayland, you know, and do you still perform with, are they still around the Waymore Outlaws or?
Oh yeah. They got their own thing, you know, they got their own band, and I work with Jerry Bridges and the guys, you know, when I go in the studio all the time, every album I go and cut anymore is with them. I've played some shows with them. I've done a small tour with them across country back in 2007, 2008, and been recording with them ever since. They're great guys, and unfortunately, we lost Richie Albright back in February, and he was Waylon's drummer for a long, long time, you know. Started out with Waylon in Phoenix, and Richie was the heart, say, of Waylon's music, and one of the reasons why Waylon got to be number one in the business, so to speak, you know, because he really had a big role to play in Waylon's sound. But they're still doing their thing. They've got a new drummer now, which is Jerry Bridges' son Jeff, and Waymore's Outlaws are still out there with Jerry and Bridges and Fred Newell and Barney and Carter Robertson and Tommy Townsend, and they get out there and do their tribute to Waylon that they do, and it's a pretty cool thing, you know. We're talking about going back in the studio in a not too distant future to start another couple projects on me.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, for you, Billy, like we mentioned that, you know, now you're, you know, well, you've been, you know, songwriter and you write all these songs, but I mean, do you feel that experience and, you know, meeting with Waylon Jennings, I mean, do you feel that influenced you? I mean, do you have a lot of influences when it comes to the developing the songs or?
Oh, yeah. I think that's why I write the way I do, because I grew up listening to the guys, you know, the older guys, which in the vein of like Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and Waylon and Willie and all of them, you know, that era of music. I think you kind of just wad it all up in one little ball, and you, that's how you become what you do and how you do it, you know. And I think that's how I feel about it, you know. And I think it's why I like the story to really develop in the song, you know. And when you start singing something, somebody, they don't get lost in what you're trying to tell them, you know. And but I lean it toward the raising and upbringing those guys had, because I, you know, I'm not that far from it either, you know. And I think that's helped me as far as them influencing me and the type of songs that they sang or wrote, you know. And I've got a host of Lord singers and songwriters that I'm fond of, you know.
Okay, Billy, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guest today is Billy Payne from Charleston, West Virginia, who is a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer, and we're so blessed and honored to have Billy here today. You are listening to What's Up America with Mike Kara, as always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA. Planet Earth, and please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program.
Daylight has found me here again. You can ask me anything but where I've been. Things that used to matter seem so small. When you're looking for a soft place to fall, don't misunderstand me, baby, please. I didn't mean to bring back memories. Should know the reason why I called. I was looking for a soft place to fall. Looking for a soft place. Nothing more than a small of a love that ended long ago. Looking for a place to hide, a warm bed on a cold night. I didn't mean to hurt you, no. Looking out your window at the dawn, baby, when you wake up, I'll be gone. You're the one that taught me after all. Thank you. to find a soft place to fall.
Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of What's Up America with Mike Kara. As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. My guest today is a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer from Charleston, West Virginia, the one and only Mr. Billy Payne. And Billy, it's a pleasure and honor that you could join me today. We're truly blessed and we truly do appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, Billy, so I want to talk about these nice songs our audience will be listening to on the audio version of this. And if you don't mind telling us, you know, a little backstory or a little something about each one here. First of all, we have the Ivory Tower. Can you tell us about this one?
I don't really know if it hit the charts or anything. I think it was more or less just doing this filler material. But when they pitched the song to me and I started listening to it, I started liking it a good bit, you know. And good thing I cut it because it's just been nominated for one of the country song nominations through the Red Carpet Awards in Holland, and under a classic traditional country or something like that. And I'm real happy to hear that happen. I never knew it would, you know, but that was just a song that Barney wanted me to do and thought I could do a good job on it. And it has, it's caught the attention of a lot of fans and a lot of people, around the world, you know. It's been playing overseas too.
Okay. Another song we have is Soft Place to Fall. Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, that the first time I ever heard that song was about 20 years ago on the Horse Whisperer movie. And a girl that wrote and sang it, her name is Allison Moore. And I just loved the song. Other than that, you know, I never did perform it out anywhere. I just loved the way the song was written and what it was about.
Okay, and another song we have here is I'll Stop Loving You. Could you tell us about this one?
First of all, I'd like to say I wished I'd wrote them, you know. but I'm a big fan of songwriters, and Mike Reed, the football player, he brought that song out years ago, and I always liked the drive it had, you know, and what it talked about. So I just wanted to see if I'd come up with a pretty good version of it. And so it ended up being a good track on the Maverick Hillbilly CD as well.
Okay. And another one we have is Hottest Thing in Town. Could you tell us about this one?
Yeah. That's the Billy Joe Schaefer song. And, the first time I'd ever heard it was Billy Joe. And I started doing that song in the clubs a long time ago. And I don't know. It was just something that I could relate to. And it was a good, hard-driving, honky-tonk song about a woman that just tells a whole lot about her in a little bit of time. But you know, you're certainly getting the meaning of it out there when you start singing it, because it's she's the hottest thing in town by a country mile. So, you know, there's been a lot of them walk through the doors of the club like that too, and it always hits real good with the crowd. So.
Oh, so yeah, those are some of the songs there. So, I mean, for you, you've written a certain amount of songs, or I mean, you have so many albums that you've put out, or?
Yeah, matter of fact, I've got, I think it's 7 that I have. And then we're, you know, like I say, we're working on 8 and 9 right now, you know, to get out there. We're planning on doing 2 new projects, but yeah, I've been recording since 1999. And I've just been really fortunate to, I got a small record deal in Nashville and a one star search, you know, and started out the record label with Jimmy Case, Aaron Records, Aaron. And he was, he had a good bit of people on the label, you know, like Freddie Weller and Little David Wilkins and Vicky Bird from Hee Haw, and, you know, and Darnell Miller and I think Narvel Phelps. Yeah. So, you know, I was in some good company, you know, and was a good place to get started. And, you know, and he put about three singles out on me, and I got two top tens on the independent country charts. One of them with a Freddie Weller song called No Limit on Love. It went to number 9 and on the independent country charts. And then I cut an old Chuck Berry song that had been playing in the clubs a lot. And it's called Nadine. And I got number 8 on the independent country charts with that. And Chuck was really happy with my version. And so was Freddie with my version of his song. And I've talked to Freddie several times since I cut his No Limit on Love song. He said it just knocks him out every time he listens to it. So I guess I done him good. I hope I did.
Wow, so that's pretty cool, Billy, that these guys actually hear the songs and they you get their blessings. So, I mean, that must make you feel good. I mean, that must give a different dynamic knowing that they might be out there, who knows, listening to this.
Oh, yeah. You know, it makes me feel really good to, because I've always been somebody, if it's not fitting with me, I won't do it, because if it's not touching me, I'm not going to touch anybody else but me. I've been real selective about picking songs. I've always been that way. And if I'm not satisfied with the song that I'm going to do, then I'm going to do something else or change it, which I don't change the structure of the song. And Jerry Bridges has helped me a lot. Since I've been working with him, you know, he's helped me at times like a song that he wanted me to cut and I didn't particularly care for it, but then he changed my perspective of it, you know, and helped me. Because I've always been open to suggestions about the songs, you know, and I get a different feeling for them at times on my own. And I'll throw my idea at him about it, and he'll like it, you know, the way I'm going after it. And I think it's just I don't call myself an artist, but I think that's what, you know, you have that in you to do that. I like to make the song sound like I wrote it. I mean, it's that I've been carrying around with me forever. And if I can do that, then I know I'm going to get somebody's attention in the audience, you know.
And, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as performing now, Billy, are you performing or doing any sort of tours? Or?
Well, right now I'm just doing some local stuff because of the COVID-19 crisis, you know. And this led up a little bit around where I live. But I don't think it's let up enough to where it feels safe, you know, to just go on out there. And so I'm trying to just wait and see what's going on. And I've got hopefully some more stuff coming up overseas, you know, and across the country. It's kind of just like up in the air right now, you know.
So you mentioned, Billy, that, you know, you've gone overseas. And I mean, I don't know if you could describe it, but I mean, is it an interesting feeling? I mean, how is the reception? I mean, everyone wants you back, it seems. They really like the music.
Yeah. When I went to Ireland, I went over specifically to play the Phil Mack show. And did some small things, you know, after that, so TV and radio. And I got a good welcome, you know, the people were so nice, you know, and they just down to earth people. They love country music. They like all the kind of country music, especially the traditional type. And so I've kind of fell in with their like, you know, they really got into the country flavor that I have, so to speak. And Spain's the same way. I mean, it's just a completely different way of liking music over there. It's here where, you know, the new stuff is out, and not putting it down or anything like that, but they do not particularly care about that type of music. And so when you going over being country as a corn cob, you know, you got a lot of people like you, you know, and they treated me like I was a superstar over. You know, it was really cool.
Oh, that's good to hear. And you hope to get back there then, but right now that there's still not a lot of international travel available to do these shows, or
yeah, they're still worried about, you know, the virus. I've got some stuff coming up in Germany if I can ever get back over there, you know. And that's one of the last things they had told me, that said, as soon as the COVID thing goes away, you know, we definitely want to do some bookings over here with you. And I think if we can get it straightened out, Mike, I believe it'll be okay. We're hoping and praying anyway.
So, I mean, with your shows, Billy, then you have your own full band as well then? Or?
Oh, yeah, I've got my own band right here around home, and I also have a band that's stationed in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and a good bunch of guys. And, you know, we haven't got to play with each other for a while because of the COVID thing, of course. And I also do one-man shows, you know. If I have to do one of those, I'll get it done. And they work out pretty good. But I had a great bunch of guys that played with me in Ireland when I played over there. I played, I don't know if you've heard of Sarah Jory or not, but she's ranked the best steel guitarist, female gets steel guitarist. I'll get it out in a minute, in the world. And got to play with her and Phil Mack's band, and then the guys that was in Spain, you know, they were waiting on me, and I got there, and man, they put together a great show. And they set aside, it was really funny, they set aside all evening for us to rehearse, and they'd been working on songs for like 3 months, and so we go into rehearsal and we kick it off, and exactly 2 hours later, through all the songs, we were.
This world can take you by. And tempt the soul of any man. You can choose your path. There's two roads you can take. One way is right and one is wrong. The flesh is weak, but love is strong. Everywhere. hold her in my arms tonight. So safe and warm, I close my eyes. And a cool breeze blows across our bodies in the dark. Outside her reach is my concern. Somewhere I know a fire burns. She's all I see between the devil and me. The gates of hell swing open wide, and by me step inside. Be your friend, because again, I know it's him. The flames are spreading everywhere. Through the smoke, I see her there. She's all I see between the devil.
Welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of What's Up America with Mike Cara. As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. My guest today is a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer from Charleston, West Virginia, the one and only Mr. Billy Payne. And we're so blessed and honored that Billy could be here today. So we want to thank Billy, and we also want to thank each and every one of our podcast listeners for joining us today. And suggestions are always welcome. You know, show ideas, whether it's a Pacific person like Billy, or maybe it's a, you know, country, a traditional country music artist, you know, classic country music artist. Maybe it's about baking, paragliding, you know, parasailing, you know, scuba diving, you know, whatever it is, please let us know. You can go to MikeCara.com, my website, and somewhere, you know, on the bottom, just scroll down to the bottom. And my phone number will be there, and my email will be there, and I will respond, and we'll see what we can do. Again, my guest is singer, songwriter, musician, performer from Charleston, West Virginia, Billy Payne. And Billy, pleasure honor you could join me today. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate it, and we truly are blessed.
Okay, Billy, I wanted to ask you, you know, a question. You know, you mentioned that you do solo shows and you do, you know, with the full band. But I mean, when you're playing like a solo show and a full band, is there anything differently you do like for each show? Or, I mean, you have to play a different way or a different chords, or pretty much you play the same way when you do a solo show and then with the band?
Oh yeah, when I do a solo show, I sit down. I'm more intimate with the crowd. You know, it's and I started sitting down a long time ago just to get the feel of these shows. I've always called them like sit down shows. That's what I call them, because most of the people just sit there and listen to you play, and that helps for, you know, the type of shows you do out on the road, like theater shows, and you know, you got different settings, and then you get people to get up and dance. But I mainly just do the same thing I always do, you know. I sing and play my songs, and they really seem to get into it. And I even have a question segment when I'm doing the shows, that I'm sitting down and doing those smaller group shows I do for a labor school that has groups come in from all over the world, and I sing to the whole world in one room. You know, it's really cool. People from everywhere that comes in on these groups, and that's helped me out a lot too. To you know, not have to worry about if they're sitting, standing, or dancing. It's just, I think it's helped me to be a better entertainer, honestly, because I've been playing now since, oh Lord, if I tell you how long it'll date me. I think it's gave me the know-how to handle a crowd and what to do with them. You know, when I'm doing shows, I can tell what song I need to sing next while I'm singing the one I'm doing. And I guess I'm just like any other entertainer, you know, and how to work a crowd. But I've been blessed with being able to do different types of shows that puts me right in the middle of the folks, you know.
Oh, so you can, like you mentioned, you know, feel the crowd, you know, switch songs up so you don't necessarily have a definite playlist that, you know, is what's got to be played. I mean, if you feel, hey, maybe we should switch it up, you can do that on the fly then, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, I can do about anything I need to do. And there's a lot of times, now, when I do the sit-down shows and I play the one-man thing, I'll use my studio tracks. And sorry about that, my dog. My studio tracks are something that I can play the songs along with the track and represent my music the way I did in studio. And it gives an opportunity for them to hear it the way it is on CD. And everything's there except me and my guitar, and I apply that live, you know. And it's a really, really good thing, I think, because I've sold a lot of music like that. And then when I do the shows with the band and everything, it's the same way, you know. It's just a way of representing it. And we always try to stay right there and make it familiar with what it's supposed to sound like.
Oh, great. Okay, Billy, before we go here, you know, we're talking about, you know, the music, and I wanted to give you a chance to tell our audience how they can get, you know, your music, purchase that music. I mean, is there a certain place to go, or?
Well, my music is available on all download formats across country, overseas, all the way around the world. Anywhere you go for downloading music, you can go to billypaincountry.com and check the music out from the sites there as well. People can write to me, billypain_country@yahoo.com, or write to me through the website and order it directly from me if they'd like to. But I'm on Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, pretty much everywhere. And so they're available, you know, you can get the physical CDs as well online, going through those sites, because they sell them too through the distributors.
Oh, okay. Now, as far as, do you have like any merchandise or stickers or t-shirts or beer koozies that, you know, any way we could, you know, help support you or walk through downtown Ocoee and say, hey, here's Billy Payne?
Well, I've got t-shirts, I've got ball caps, pitchers, and we're getting ready to start dabbling in some koozies and picks. I did have some guitar picks, and which those were really cool, and keychains and magnets, we're building the website up really well. It's all brand new. The website was just launched about 3 weeks ago. It's got a different look. It's real easy to access everything you want to look at. We are trying our best to make sure people can be accommodated to anything they need on there. And so we're hoping that it's going to work out okay. I'm on Facebook as well. I got a musician site on Facebook under Billy Payne Country, and I have one called Billy Payne Country Music, which is my personal site. And I think that's about it, except for, well, there's a Billy Payne Tuesday site on Facebook. Every Tuesday they promote my music. Just out of the blue, a lady started doing it. Bless her heart. Her name is Belinda Stevens, and she's a really big fan, but she says she believes in me, and she's got a lot of things going for me too, you know, and it works out really well. It's getting bigger and bigger, and we're just trying our best to make sure that anybody can get to me to get my music and everything.
Okay, Billy, we want to thank you so much. We, you know, appreciate your time, and, you know, the music is great, and we encourage everyone to check you out. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
Well, yeah, Mike, I appreciate you having me on, but I would like to say I've been nominated as well in the Josie Awards coming up next month. That's going to be at Pigeon Forge. And I've been nominated for a song I co-wrote called I Only Miss You When I'm Sober for Song of the Year. And I've been also nominated for Male Traditional Country Artist and Male Classic Country Artist. And that's a biggie for me right there. I never would have dreamed that something I wrote would be nominated for Song of the Year in a big award show like that. But I did have one that I wrote before a couple years ago that was nominated for the Willie Award, the Will Rogers Award in the Academy of Western Artists out west. And it was a song I wrote about Spirit of an Outlaw. And it was nominated Song of the Year. And so, I've been, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been getting a lot of attention and nice nominations. I've just been so blessed to the things that are happening. You know, I just don't know what to think of it. It's overwhelming. You know.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much, Billy. My guest is Billy Payne, a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer from Charleston, West Virginia. And you've been listening to What's Up America with Mike Cara. And please catch us again next time.
Lay it down, you know she get on down. Run down to the ground. She's a cat's meow and a dog's wow wow. The hottest thing in town. A friend of a friend of a friend of mine said he knew her well. Said she hung around heaven till she learned too much. Then she headed straight for hell, she went straight to hell with everything.